So it's good to be back. It's good to see you all. And so today, we started off at a mini-series, a three-week thing, just adding to what we did in November last year, looking at this is who we are and why we're here and what do we do. And so today, we're just going to conclude that. And so again, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, and says this, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we started it, and I looked at, when looking at this, we look at this family, this group of, this collective group of people. And so when I preached last time, 2 weeks ago, we looked at who are these elders, and we looked at, we're not going to go the whole thing again, but it's just up there. We had this slide up last time, three Greek words, and who are the elders. The elders are also the pastors. They're also the people we call overseers. They're also the people we call shepherds. We're also the people we call bishops, and there it's all there, and if you missed it, you can go online and listen to the whole thing. And then last week, we had a double header. With Alan and Dom, who did an amazing job, I believe, and they spoke on followership, and they looked at the saints and all together and the responsibility that the saints carry. We looked at originally what the elders were, who they are, pastors, shepherds, overseers, and the responsibility we have to the church. And so they looked a little bit at how we biblically express this. And these are some of the salient factors that came out. And there's one little slide that Alan used called Followership is Relational. And it's all a thing about being relational. If you saw their preach, I trust you listen to it sometime. So today we're going to conclude this whole thing. We're going to look at these people called deacons. Because it says, all the saints in Christ Jesus who at Philippi with the elders, overseers, shepherds, pastors, same person, we explained that last time, and deacons. And so we're going to get into it, and we say, well, who are these people and what do they do? And so we have to, it's a bit of a double-edged sword that we're going to live on today, because we have to understand the office of a deacon and deacons or deaking. It's not a new word. I'll just make it up as we go along. So we all call to deek. God's kingdom is all about heart attitude. Every single one of us here, it's about heart attitude. You think, well, we are servants being trained to lead, not leaders being trained to serve. That is kingdom. In the business world, it's upside down. It's a little bit different. But in the kingdom, we need to be servant-hearted and have servant hearts to actually to learn to lead and to take responsibility. So now let's have a look at what deacons are not. Because there are so many different ways that we've looked at that and seen deacons and what is this word deacon and who are these people, and your backgrounds and different churches you come from have told you some of this stuff. So let's see. Deacons are not the pastor's assistants. Well, they're the deacons, they're the pastors. So that's sort of like the low end of the totem pole type of thing. Some bodies have taken deacon, have merged them with the function of an elder, and have they become, and the elders have sort of become an obsolete, because they don't have this office in their gathering, but they have these people called deacons, and then they have a deacon board, and sometimes you can then have a deacon-possessed church, who control the affairs and the finance of the church, in some cases hire and fire the pastor. And some of you probably think, that's a cool idea. Well, it might be cool, but it's not biblical. So we're not going to go there. Are we good with that? And the deacons, well, they're necessary because we read about them in the Bible, but they're sort of like inferior ecclesiastica, We don't know what to do with them, and it's a form of hierarchical structure, because if you're a good saint, then you get to be a good deacon, and if you're a good deacon, then you can be an elder, and man, if you're a good elder, then you can lead a church, and if you plant and lead a church, then you can also be on the apostolic or the translocal team, and then you've climbed the ecclesiastical corporate ladder. Yeah, no, it doesn't work like that either. So, and then the office of a deacon has too often been ignored or underrated or over-exalted in some cases. However, as I've said already, most of this is just contrary to Scripture. It's not there. Please don't just listen to me. Hear what I'm saying today. Take the Scriptures and go and search it for yourself. Be good Bereans and search the Scriptures and understand them. And I'll be happy, and the elders will be happy to answer questions. And it's either we're established in Acts 6 and the New Testament church. What else are they not? They're not a defensive management maintenance group of guys and girls. They're not for the spiritually inferior designed to keep them busy. Well, you know, you don't quite make it to be a pastor and elder, so we're just going to make you a deacon and you'll sort of fit in there. No, it doesn't work like that. They're not just a helps ministry limited to the local house. We see in Scripture, Philip goes out. He's the one in the end. They talk about Philip, the evangelist. But he was a deacon. You never hear about Philip really leading a church or being an elder. He was a deacon. He was on the translocal apostolic team. Wow. That blows some brains, some theories. Truthfully, they don't exercise government in an overall sense, which is an eldership function. Bible's clear about that. But they're not without the authority. Because when they are placed and put in charge of a group of people to shepherd and pastor them and look after them, they have authority, spiritual authority. And as I always say, it's more talking about perspective than permission. The only person you get permission from is Jesus Christ. Everyone else you get perspective from. And while they serve practically, which all believers should do anyway, there is a spiritual function in there, deaking. You get used to that word. Deaking. I like it. So what does the Bible say about deacons? Well, the term, biblically speaking, that's what I said, we're going to look at it, is a generic term, and we'll look at it biblically because that's what we do. We don't try and make it up as we go along. We want to see what it says. So we're just going to call that unofficially, if you're good with that. That all. All saints are deacons. We're all deacons. If you're a deacon, put your hand up. Okay, I see I've lost most of you already. Don't be shy. If you're a deacon, put your hand up. There we go. Now, okay. And then secondly, we see also see scripturally as an office that they carry, and that's where we can just call that officially if you like. And that's why I say this is like a double-edged sword I'm walking on here, because well, when am I an official deacon and when am I not? Well, you're always deaking. And so the office is part of the leadership team of a local church. And we see some passages of Scripture, and we're going to look at some of that, that there is this group of people who have proven themselves having a grace to function in this office and are as designated as such or as deacons. And that's why when Paul writes, he says to the overseers and deacons, he makes a separation, because otherwise he should have just said to all the saints, all the people who gather together at the bridge, mishmash of people who just come there. And that's not the heart, scripturally, biblically, and what Jesus was planning when he said, I will build my church. So now get down to the nut of it. What does the Bible say about deacons? And I know again, here we go, we're going to do Greek again, because there's three kinds of words that help us, and then nouns, pronouns, verbs, adverbs, all that kind of stuff. And so there we see that there's diakonos, which means a servant, helper, or minister. So there you go. If you ever wanted to be a minister, you're all ministers. Diakoneo means to serve or to minister. And diakonia means the service or the ministry thereof. And I hope you're still with me. Yeah. So, as I said, we're all deacons. So please don't fear, well, I'm just a saint, and how do I get to be a deacon? No, you already are. And I'm going to show you something, because we're all ministers of the gospel. We all should minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all ministers of Christ Jesus. born into the family of Christ, sent out by Jesus. We're all servants of God. We all serve great God. And we're all followers of Jesus. Well, how does that translate, Mark? I'm so glad you asked. Number one, ministers of the gospel, Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all in creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister, a diakonos. So here's the great apostle Paul saying, I am a deacon. I am a minister. I am a diakonos. And if it's good enough for Paul, it's got to be good enough for us. Secondly, ministers of Christ, as I said, 1 Timothy 4:6. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant. You will be a good diakonos of Christ Jesus, being trained in the word of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, to his diakonia. Mark, this is all Greek to me. I'm so glad. It's meant to be. 2 Corinthians 6:4, we're as servants of God. But as servants, diakonos of God, we commend ourselves. Yes, I knew that. Commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in affliction. Oh, here we go. Now I'm going to be a servant. But then I've got to go through endurance, I've got to go through afflictions, I've got to go through hardship, I've got to have some calamities, I'm going to be beaten, I might be imprisoned, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger. No, this sucks, I don't want to do this. Yet always rejoicing as poor, yet making many riches, having nothing, yet possessing everything. Servants of God, we get this opportunity. When last someone got beaten for the sake of the gospel? No, I didn't think so. Calamities, imprisonment, anyone been to prison for the sake of the gospel? No. Me neither, don't feel bad. Followers of Jesus, John 12:26. If anyone serves diakoneo, me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant diakonos be also. And if anyone serves diakoneo me, the Father will honor him. And you go, wow, Mark, that's like just so much. But the point I'm making, I want you to see this. This is not just a good idea that I came up with when I was bored one day. This is comes from the Bible. This is what the Bible says. This is why we want to be Word and Spirit people. And why we want to stay focused on what the Word of God says. Because we only want to preach Him and Jesus Christ crucified. We want to be able to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to say that I understand this stuff. And now I know why we're such a weird bunch of people. Well, some of you think so or not. Every believer is to have the heart and characteristics of a servant. Every believer. Well, I got saved 40 years ago and I've done my bit and I don't need to do anything more. You lost the heart attitude. You lost what it was all about. Because I tell you why, you were either serving some pastor or you were serving yourself. Instead of serving Jesus Christ. We can never get to a place where, well, making coffee's beneath me. I did that 20 years ago, and I don't do that anymore. Why not? Because I did it for a pastor, or did it for myself, because I wanted to get onto the leadership team, or I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that. I know no one like that in this church, but I've got to make the point. Paul calls Apollos and Epaphras deacons. There's the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 3:5. I don't have time to go through everyone. Ephesians 3:7, Colossians 1:7. Jesus was declared a deacon to the Jews. Romans 15:8. For I tell you that Christ became a servant, a diakonos, to the circumcised. So I think if it's cool for Jesus, it's got to be good for us. And then we are declared as deacons, John 12:26. Anyone serves me, follow me. And we've read that one already. Good? So we're still talking about deacons, all of us. Now let's just look at it as an office. And what does that mean? And there's the definition of an office as per Oxford Dictionary. a duty attached to one's position, a task, a function, a position with duties attached to it. And we see the deacons are specifically addressed as an office, as are bishops, elders, and overseers. And we just read Philippians 1:1. And it also goes on in 1 Timothy 3:10. Now we're talking about the deacon office, and it says, and let them also be tested. Wow. You mean we've got to be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. And we test people with things before we test them with people. Because you can mess up with things, but you can't mess up with people. Because people's lives are at stake. Their spirituality is at stake. So it's not in a general hierarchy, and I think I've put that on. And then qualifications given in 1 Timothy 3, and you can go and read that. They're all there. We all got the same Bible. So they were not considered just lay members of the church. God is very particular about who he chooses for his leadership and to lead his church and who takes responsibility. So let's have a little bit deeper now. What does the Bible say about these people? And we've read Philippians 1, 1 Timothy 3:1. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires the office of an overseer, we looked at this last time, or elder, / pastor, / bishop, / whatever, he desires a noble task. Wasn't it a little bit arrogant? No. It's actually a task that God has called you into. You don't just wake up one morning and decide, well, I think I'll just go and be a pastor. You know, I think many, I don't know so much now, well, I think today now, people think that pastors is like becoming an electrician or an accountant or something. It's a career choice. It's not. And that's why we have people who've gone that road. The failure rate is something like 1 in 10 make it. 1 in 10. Because my dad was, and so I should be, or my grandfather was, and so I should be. And my auntie said, oh, I should be your pastor because I got such a tender heart. It's a bad idea. I think I told you a bit of my testimony when Christ called me, God called me and said, oh, you should be a pastor. I said, God, are you talking to the right guy? He said, not me. I said, no, I don't mind traveling for the sake of the gospel. I love to travel. That pastor and shepherd people? No, I don't think that's me, God. I want to be a rock star. You heard me. Yeah, I wanted to be a rock star for Jesus. Bang, grounded out. And then I heard some of the other people play, and I thought, rock star, not so much. What's next? This is what God called me to. That's why I do this, with the joy of the Lord. Okay, I'm missing the point here. Then it says, therefore an overseer must be, and then it gives all the qualifications. Then it goes on in chapter 3, verse 8, and it says, deacons, likewise. Likewise what? Likewise elders must be, and then there's and then 3:10, let them also be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. I just want to pause a little, let that sink in a little bit. Because this is not a hierarchical progression. This is what, and we'll look at it just now. Then people often say, well, what about women? Can women be deacons? Yeah. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church, a diaconess of the church at Centria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. And you will also see in this 1 Timothy scripture part there, when it talks about the deacon must be, and goes on, and then it says, and their wives likewise. And it talks about their wives, etc., etc. So that's why we have no problem in saying, well, women can also be deaconesses, they can deacess, whatever we want that to sound like. So what are we as deacons, as messengers? Well, we are messengers of God first and foremost. We represent his heart, we should represent his generosity. Now this is the office, and as us, every one of us here, we represent God's love, God's intimacy. To the elders, we deacons should represent their heart, our vision, our values, our ventures, where God has shown us, where the direction we're going in. And to the people, to the saints of the church, pray for them, love them, listen to them, guide them, establish them in the faith. As I said earlier, deacons in a general, not in a general, in an office, they are not just maintenance. Well, we'll just maintain this. No, we expect our deacons to help foster and engender and develop the vision with us as we go forward. So this is the point. Deacons are called to leadership office. It's not just like I woke up one morning and I thought. I know that God is calling. You need to know that God is calling you into leadership. God calls, releases, and promotes in His time. I remember we were so keen to go and plant a church. We were like, we're ready to go. You know us too. Do you know who we are? And the leadership team and my pastor at the time said to me, no. You know, and I think, I'm not sure, Ellen or Dom might have mentioned this. The first time fellowship is tested is when the pastor says, no. Pastor, let's build a something in the corner there and it'll look good. Yeah, man, that's a good, okay, go ahead. Wow, he's a cool pastor. Pastor, let's all wear headbands and let's run around and let's just, you know, do crazy stuff. Yeah, that's a good idea. How about we just pick something? No, we don't think that's a good idea. Oh, he doesn't understand me. He's not full of the Spirit. He doesn't know what he's talking about. God calls, releases, and promotes in His time. And when Steve and Janet said to us, no, in Afrikaans is a word that says insluk. Means, we had to go. Okay. Because the truth of the matter, you know, we could have said, hasta la vista, baby, I'm not coming back. And gone and planted a church. We could have done that. But we wanted the blessing and inheritance of that church to go with us. We wanted God's favor upon our lives when we left. We wanted the hand of blessing extended to us. And that's why 10 years later we still have the same relationship and the friendship with that couple that lead their church. And every time we go over to the South Africa, they want to know, when are we coming to preach in their church? When are we coming to minister? Because we were first sons and daughters in the house, and we came fathers and mothers in the house, and then we were released to the nations. Because we waited 3 years. Every 6 months. I can't do this anymore. Can we go? No. I'm not ready for you to go. This is Steve talking. I'm not ready for you to go. I don't think you're ready to go. That was the big one. And this church is not ready for you to go. So you know what we did? We got clever. We said, Father, would you please speak to Steve? Would you change his heart? And that's why we're in Canada. Leadership recognition for what leadership in the kingdom is not a reward for potential or faithfulness. Gehazi was the most amazing faithful servant, but you only hear of him once in Scripture. Faithful, 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 faithful. Come and tell Elisha, I see a cloud with a little, as big as my fist. I think there's a thunderstorm coming. Okay, Gehazi, thank you. Never hear of him again. Faithful to the prophet. Leadership is recognition for what one is already doing. You know, you got to be doing something for the recognition to fall upon you and say, no, they've got a skill and anointing for that. Living what we preach far outweighs what we teach. I say that with fear and trepidation. Functions and the duties of a deacon. I know this is a little bit dry, but this is hopefully will help move us along a little bit. They're bridge builders in the house. So we see that in Acts chapter 6. It says they should be men of full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, and full of good repute. Which means that those that are around them know them and go, that's a man of integrity. That's a guy who's actually really honest. That guy, he talks about Jesus all the time. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. scared me once when I went to, I met a guy who I knew in business, who did business with me, and I went to a church and he was an elder in the church. And I was like, not a chance could I ever relate to that man, because he sucked in business in terms of integrity. I was like, wow. Men of good repute, full of spirit, full of wisdom. They see to the practical needs, but not restricted to menial tasks. And that's when we downplay the whole row. You know, Ellen's at home looking after Patty today because she just had this big knee replacement. So please pray for her for a quick recovery. Well, you know what Ellen did this morning? He came early, straightened the chairs. So when we came here this morning, the chairs were nice. He set the coffee up and then he went home to look after his wife. And then he called me, and it's his duty this week, this Sunday, to lock up. He said, after service, I'll come back and I'll lock up. I said, dude, don't be ridiculous. Stay home. I'll sort it. Kevin's locking up. No, I'm joking. I've said they are to advance the vision and the values, and not just maintenance crew. You know, just come along, tighten a little screw here, tighten a little screw there, help things. No. They see stuff falling down, they're supposed to, hey, let's fix this, let's put this together, let's work this. They took care of cultural differences. You know, when you read Acts chapter 6, you say, well, the widows were moaning, the Hebraic and the Grecian widows were complaining, so what did they actually do? No, they just helped him sort out that. So what did they do is they waited on tables, and that's where it stops. And that's where most times in churches people say, well, what a deacon, well, they just wait on tables. Think about it a little bit. We have the South African aunties, who are not shy, woman, it's a slang colloquialism, and we have Canadian ladies who are not shy. And they were arguing over the food. Well, who got the biggest share and who got this? So he said, by the way, you six guys, you're going to be the deacons. You're going to sort this interracial, intercultural issue. You're going to sort it out. So we can devote ourselves to prayer and to the word. And everyone said, well, they just waited on tables. The Hebraics, think about it. Just think about it a little bit. And can you imagine how they moaned? And now these six guys, fear and trepidation, going to help the widows. And they got long memories because they remembered that last week, Mrs. Saley got more than I got. And it wasn't fair. And when I got there, there wasn't anything. Do you get the point I'm making? And they released the elders, the prayer and the word. Deacons together with and under the oversight of the elders lead the church. Bridget and I don't just lead this church. We lead the team that leads this church. Available to preach, as they did last week. Flow in the gifts and evangelize. As I said, Philip's a great example. Spread the word local and translocal. Phoebe was a translocal deacon. She went from her place to Centria. Do you think she just got there and said, hi? Okay. I knew that. They bear the burdens of the church and for the lost. They pray for you and for your families and for the community. That's a nice title they got. What do they really do? Yeah, they bear the burdens. When you're hurting, we all hurt together. They stand alongside the elders, working with the elders, doing all they can to help to move us, the saints, because we're also saints, by the way. He says to all the saints, we're also part of the sainthood. And as some people get scared, well, you're calling yourself a saint and I've got another picture of a saint. No, that's what the Bible says. Doing all to help move the congregation forward into the inheritance God has for us corporately. Now the whole body deacon together, officially, unofficially, together, family, saints, elders, and deacons. We are invested as a team, in team. We build everything working from the starting point of reality of the unity of the Trinity. That was the very first team we come across, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They were the first team. And I think if the Father, Son, Holy Spirit functioned in team and needed to function in team, I think it would be a good idea if we followed suit. We don't build on fads and fashions and fallacies. and say, well, this is what's happening in the world today, so now we're going to... And I mean, for those who do that, I'm happy. Me, I just really, all I want to do is preach from this little black thing called the Bible. My heart breaks when I see stuff, and I just see too many pastors preaching on fads. Well, this thing happened, and I mean, I know it's a terrible thing to bring up, but it just pops into me, 9/11. And then we do a 10-week series on 9/11. It's not in the Bible. It's good to pray for them. It's good to remember them. It's good to uplift the families. It's good to weep with them. But anyway, I hope you get my point. We build from a deep theological foundation. That's why I take time, and I know this is dry, and this is not so exciting, and well, we don't really need to know this stuff. No, but you do. It's good for you. Trust me, said the pastor. The church is a community of oneness that works in team. The Godhead in team is Jesus had a team. Paul had a team. The Father had a team. We together are a team. If you don't understand, ever stand that, sit down and speak to Frank Glover. He probably gets team more than most. He's also off on a cruise today, I think. What's wrong with these people taking vacation? Husbands, wives, elders and deacons and priesthood together, we're all a team, interrelated. Like, you remember we do the thing with the cogs, we work with each other, helping each other. The Trinity is the perfect example of community of oneness. Father at the forefront of work and creation, work with me here, both Word and Spirit involved, Word being Jesus, Spirit, Holy Spirit. Son at the forefront of the work of redemption, both Father and Spirit involved. Spirit at the forefront of sanctification, both the Father and Son are involved. It's not like, okay, Son, you're up, we're chilling. It's no, Son, you're up, we're behind you, we're working with you, we're doing our bit, we're going together. And that's how we should be as a body here. Working together, functioning together. Even when someone is up front, then we say, okay, while you're up front, together. And that's sometimes you might see or not understand, Michael's leading the meeting today, I have a word, I don't just go and take the mic. But Mark, you're like the senior dude here. No. I'm not only the leader of the team, but I'm not just on the team, I'm in the team. And we've got to understand that, and that's why I go to him, because he's appointed to lead today, and I say, Mark, I have this word, what do you think? He says, sure. Because I respect him and I honor him, and I trust that he's hearing from the Spirit, and that we don't get all independent and just do our own things. So we go to the guy who's, we've said, you lead the meeting today. You hear from Holy Spirit. Not that we dialed out, because we're team, we're behind it. And sometimes you might see him come and say, man, I'm not sure what to do right now. That's just, not just Michael, but any one of us who's leading. Say, why, the presence of God is so tangible. I'm not sure what to do. Well, let's just wait a while. Okay? When we all deek, we have stumbled in on issues of destiny and of eternity and of profound significance. When we all work together, when we all have our little piece of our puzzle, when your piece of your puzzle is in place, then we're working well. Deaking is about investing in the lives of men and women, and apart from worshipping God, there's no greater privilege in the cosmos. For all of us. And that's why this morning, as Michael was singing, while I was thinking about the songs, I'm thinking, man, we're not just singing songs, we're worshipping the King. And I just thought, again, the thought came, you know how music affects all of us? Okay, 99% of us. You know? Even while we're on vacation, you know, they've got these little mariachi bands going around all the time. And you can't help yourself, and you just sit and I'm a great observer of people. So I see a lot. And you can see them even. Some of them having their own little party in their own head, and they're just oblivious of the crowd around them. They just, and the feet are tapping, and everything's going. Why? When we get into church, we go, oh, I'm so terrified. We take you out to the nightclub. And woo! come to church. Because why? Because we're singing songs, we're not worshipping. I'm sure there's a preaching there somewhere along the line. Wema. That you could play a part in helping bring people into their destiny. Could you imagine if you went out of here today and because of you, you've grasped this thing about this greater privilege in the cosmos, that you actually find someone and speak to someone today and you can bring them into their destiny? This tour guide that Bridget was speaking, she didn't mention that while he was speaking to her, there were tears in his eyes. And she's like, I think he's nearly ready to give his life to Jesus. I said, well, if he's ready, then he's ready. And then we went off, and then 2 days later, we were doing something else, and we bumped into him. He jumped out of the crowd, ignored the tour crew he was with, and he jumped, Mark, hi, how are you? And just like, wait. And he engaged with me and spoke to me and spent time with me. And I think we just dropped a little seed into his life. A little bit of his destiny, maybe. That you were able to help shape and transform people, something they probably could not have become on their own. I could never have become what I am today, number one, without Jesus Christ, of course, without other men and women who helped shape my life. Finally, perspective on deacons. Foundation of a deacon is character. You can have talent, you can have gifting, but if you're lacking in character, it's not helpful. The nature of a deacon is to serve. Motive of a deacon is love. Don't do it for the pastor. Don't do it for yourself. You only do it for Jesus. Measure of a deacon is sacrifice. Now, the only one who really ever sacrificed anything was Jesus. He sacrificed his life for us. You know, a little bit of my time, a little bit of my money, a little bit of my resources maybe, that's not a sacrifice. You hear what I'm saying? I know we say, well, I'm sacrificing for the kingdom. I think the people in Iran and Iraq are sacrificing, and in Yemen are sacrificing for the kingdom. We have it wonderfully in this amazing country of ours. The authority of a deacon is submission. I think Alan or Dom made the point, you can never be a great leader until you're a great follower. I'm not talking about mindless, check your brains at the door. I'm talking with intelligence and the Spirit of God. Purpose of deacon is the glory of God. It's not about me, it's all about Him. Tools of the deacon is the Word of God and prayer. Power of the deacon is Holy Spirit. Privilege of a deacon is growth and assurance. The model of a deacon is Jesus Christ. I hope that's been helpful. I've enjoyed prepping it again and sharing from my heart, but I'm even more excited about next week. I'm going to start a series that I've really wanted to preach on for a long time. Third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit. And I want us to come each week. I know I was on vacation, but I had an amazing encounter with the Holy Spirit on vacation. And I was just... Anyway, we'll wait for next week and the next coming weeks and that. And we just... I can't want to tell you. I had this dream. And I was in this dream. I won't tell you all of the dream, but I was called to go and preach at a big conference. And I got there, and another big name was leading the worship, and I was like, oh my word. And they'd asked me to come and preach on the Holy Spirit, and I couldn't find my Bible. And I was like running around looking for my Bible, you know, because by now you figure out that I love this word. And I couldn't find it. And I think now, afterwards, the lesson was, you know, I'm a word and spirit man, and I think the Spirit was saying to me, Spirit, Mark. Spirit, Mark. And so I lay in bed. I woke up in the night in my dream, and I had this thought in my head. Have you heard this song? If you haven't, go on YouTube and listen to it. Shekinah Glory. And all I could see in my head, and I could hear the words, Holy Spirit, walk in this room. But I was lying in bed and I was saying, Holy Spirit, walk in this room. And I know He's with us wherever we go. But this is part of that expectancy. Have you lost your expectancy? Are you still expectant? And I was like, Holy Spirit, walk in this room. Walk in this room. Walk in this room. Fell asleep again. But I just knew something had impacted in my life and something had changed. I don't know. And so I'm excited. I hope this has been helpful. If you've got questions, ask. It's all good. Chris and Susan are on vacation. Patty's laid up in bed. Ellen's looking after her. Trisha's ill at home. Louise is still on vacation. Jess and Janina are on vacation. Dom and Ali, he had a conference, and so she's gone down with him. So hence why half the leadership team aren't here today. And then who knows else. But just pray for them. Pray for those that are sick. Pray for those that are taking time out and relaxing, that they would be rejuvenated. And have a wonderful day. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that you are the creator of the universe, God. And Jesus, we love you. We want to make much about you, Lord. We want to just offer ourselves daily to you. Father, ask during the rest of this week, as we just spend time, I would ask, Holy Spirit, walk in the room. Touch people's hearts. Rejuvenate us, strengthen us. Let your anointing upon us increase, Lord. Most of all, Lord, we do not want to run ahead of you. We want to be good followers of you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.